Think about what it felt like the first time you touched a glass panel after years of steam gauges. There was a moment of trust, then a moment of recalibration as you found the new patterns, learned where things lived, let go of habits built around dials that no longer existed. Now move that moment forward again. Modern glass is already familiar. The next displacement is coming, and it looks like a 12-inch touchscreen, a software platform model, and a certification framework that does not yet fully exist, but absolutely needs to. I'm Vector on Cleared Direct, coming to you from Radio Hangar. Today we're going deep on Honeywell Anthem, a cockpit system that is genuinely different from what came before it, and which represents a bet that every avionics company needs to be watching closely. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. Let me give you some history first. Because where Anthem fits only makes sense if you understand how cockpit automation has evolved. The first wave was mechanical. Gyroscopic autopilots that held attitude, coupling systems that connected those autopilots to instrument landing systems, auto throttles that maintained commanded airspeed. This technology matured through the 1940s and 50s and reached genuine sophistication by the late 60s. By the time the Boeing 747 entered service in 1969, the automation suite was capable enough that a properly managed flight could go from cruise to short final with minimal direct stick and rudder input from the crew. The mechanics were elegant, but the crew still had to manually synthesize information from dozens of individual gauges, cross-check against paper charts, and carry most of the situational awareness load entirely in their own heads. The second wave was glass. Digital flight displays began replacing electromechanical instruments in the early 1980s, and the revolution wasn't primarily about what pilots could see, it was about what the aircraft could compute and communicate. The Flight Management System, or FMS, married navigation databases with aircraft performance models and gave crews the ability to program an entire flight profile before departure. The aircraft tracked its position against a three-dimensional route and managed its own energy state with a precision no analog system could approach. Airbus put fly-by-wire flight controls on the A320 in 1988. Pilot inputs passed through software before reaching the flight surfaces, and that software enforced envelope protections that kept pilots from inadvertently exceeding structural limits. Boeing followed with their own implementation on the 777 in 1995. In general aviation, the glass transition arrived later, but moved fast once it started. Garmin's G1000 became the standard suite for new certified singles and twins through the 2000s. By 2010, a Cessna 172 equipped with a full glass panel had situational awareness capabilities that would have seemed transport category level a generation earlier. We are now in the third wave, and Anthem is where it begins. The third wave is not primarily about better displays or more precise autopilots. Those improvements are happening, but they are incremental within an existing paradigm. The third wave is about the fundamental architecture of how avionics software gets built, certified, and updated across the entire life of an aircraft. And to understand why that matters, you need to understand a document called DO-178C. DO-178C is the standard governing how flight-critical software gets written and approved. Published by RTCA, the Radio Technical Commission for Aeronautics, it defines software criticality levels from level A, where a software failure could cause a catastrophic accident, down to level E, where failure has no safety effect whatsoever. For level A software, the requirements are exhaustive. Every function must trace to a written requirement. Every requirement must be verified through testing. Every test must be documented with complete traceability back through the entire development chain. Independent teams verify the work before anything near a flight deck. The result is software that is extraordinarily reliable. The avionics failure rates in modern commercial aviation are nearly incomprehensibly low, and DO-178C is a significant reason why. The consequence is that certified avionics software changes extraordinarily slowly. A new feature that a consumer software team could design, build, test, and ship in 2 weeks might take 2 years to certify for a flight-critical application. Every change requires revisiting the full documentation and testing chain. What looks like a minor update from the outside is not minor in terms of certification effort. This is why your glass cockpit can look dated even when it is running on capable modern hardware. The bottleneck is not engineering creativity or processing power. The bottleneck is the certification process, and that bottleneck is built in for very good reasons. Honeywell's engineers designed Anthem around a different question. What if you partition the software so the flight critical core, the autopilot computations, the navigation, the sensor integration, stays in a hardened, traditionally certified layer, while the interface layer, the way information is displayed, and the way pilots interact with the system is architecturally separated so it can evolve faster? This is called a partitioned architecture. The concept is not new in avionics. Airbus has used integrated modular avionics architectures in their commercial products for years, with separate hardware and software modules handling defined functions and communicating through controlled interfaces. What Anthem attempts is applying that partitioning discipline specifically to the display and interaction layer in a way that enables meaningfully faster iteration on the parts pilots actually touch and the information pilots actually see. Here's the critical constraint, and Honeywell is straightforward about it. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, does not yet have a fully mature framework for rapidly updating certified avionics software on flying aircraft. The regulatory pathway that would allow something approaching an over-the-air update model for flight-critical avionics is actively being developed by FAA standards teams and RTCA working groups, but it is not complete. The timeline on that regulatory work is measured in years, not quarters. What is interesting is where the pressure for that regulatory evolution is coming from. The unmanned aircraft systems industry has been pushing the FAA for faster software certification cycles for commercial drone operations, and the arguments being made in those working groups will eventually create precedents applicable to manned aircraft avionics. The directional pressure is real, even if the timeline is uncertain. Whether the spillover happens in 5 years or 12 is a genuinely open question, but the direction is not. What Anthem represents is hardware and software built ahead of that regulatory curve. The architecture is ready to take advantage of faster update cycles when the environment catches up. That is a deliberate long-term platform strategy, and it carries real execution risk. If the regulatory framework takes a decade instead of 5 years, early Anthem operators wait a long time for the promised update velocity to materialize. Let's talk about what Anthem actually is today, because there is a gap between the roadmap and the product, and working pilots need to know where they stand. The primary displays are 12.1 inches with 10-point multi-touch capability. The graphics processing is substantially beyond first-generation glass cockpits. Terrain rendering, weather overlay, traffic integration, and synthetic vision are displayed with a resolution and clarity that pilots consistently note is functionally superior, not just cosmetically. In reduced visibility situations, a higher resolution synthetic vision picture is not just nicer to look at. You process the spatial relationship faster. That matters on approach. The multifunction display area is fully configurable. Pilots can set up the layout that serves them best for each phase of flight. Engine monitoring across the bottom strip during climb and descent. Weather radar alongside the moving map in cruise. Approach chart adjacent to synthetic vision on final. The configuration happens through the touch interface, and it is genuinely flexible in a way that fixed traditional avionics layouts are not. Honeywell built the system with operator feedback from real flight departments, and it shows in how the layout logic works. The turbulence question is the most common concern pilots raise about touchscreen avionics, and it deserves a direct answer. Physical controls give you tactile confirmation and proprioceptive feedback. You press a button and feel it register without looking. Your fingers find the switches by position because the position never changes. Touch interfaces do not naturally provide that. Honeywell made a specific architectural decision to address this. The flight-critical controls remain as dedicated physical hardware. Autopilot disconnect, go around, direct to flight director. These are not on the touchscreen. The touch interface handles configuration and display management. Haptic feedback provides tactile confirmation when touch commands register. It is not the same as a switch click, but it provides meaningful sensory feedback rather than leaving the pilot guessing. Pilots who have operated Anthem-equipped aircraft in service generally report the ergonomics as manageable in normal and light turbulence operations. Significant turbulence is the harder scenario. Though in practice, most business jet operators are in managed autopilot mode during significant turbulence and not actively reconfiguring displays. The current implementation is a reasonable trade-off for the mission, with room for further refinement in future hardware generations. The first production aircraft to certify with Anthem was the HondaJet Elite 2. Certification completed in 2023, Honda Aircraft was a logical first partner. Their customer base is technically sophisticated. The aircraft operates in a manageable performance envelope. Honda's engineering culture is methodical and conservative in the right ways for a first-in-class certification. The HondaJet program gave Honeywell genuine real-world validation under full FAA scrutiny, with actual operators providing feedback in normal revenue operations. What you learn in that environment is categorically different from what you learn in test programs. Subsequent certifications are planned across multiple business aviation platforms, and the retrofit market is the larger opportunity. New aircraft certifications are a relatively small pool in business aviation. The installed base of jets with aging avionics needing upgrades is far larger. Retrofit economics in avionics are complicated in ways that do not compress easily. Supplemental type certificates require significant engineering work specific to each airframe. Installation labor is expensive and is not made cheaper by software improvements. A modular platform architecture helps on the engineering and software integration side and may reduce some costs over time, but it does not make the mechanicals of a cockpit retrofit inexpensive. The economics are better than a full avionics replacement, not dramatically cheap. Let me put the competitive landscape in context, because Anthem does not exist in isolation. Garmin is the dominant force in certified avionics from general aviation into business jets. The G5000 series runs on capable hardware with broad pilot familiarity. Garmin's installer network is extensive. Their training resources are widely available. And the G1000 interface is what most current instrument-rated pilots learned on that. Installed base and training familiarity is a genuine competitive advantage that Anthem has to earn its way around rather than inherit. Collins Aerospace's ProLine Fusion system has been running touchscreen integrated cockpits on large cabin business jets for several years and is the other serious competitor at the top of the market. Collins and Honeywell are competing with different architectural philosophies, and that competition ultimately benefits operators. Here's what the competitive dynamic actually looks like from an engineering standpoint. When Honeywell announced Anthem, the response from Garmin and Collins was not to dismiss the platform concept. It was to accelerate their own platform evolution timelines. Garmin's Autoland certification demonstrated they can push genuinely novel automation features through the approval process when they commit to it. Collins has expanded ProLine Fusion's data integration and connectivity capabilities. The platform concept is becoming industry consensus. The argument now is not whether to build a software platform, but who executes it best and fastest. Here is what I think matters most for working pilots beyond the competitive dynamics. The third wave of cockpit automation is fundamentally about information management, not about flying the airplane more precisely. The autopilot already does that very well. It's about closing the gap between what aircraft systems collectively know and what the pilot has actually synthesized into their working mental model. Consider a specific example. In current glass cockpits, a pilot who wants to verify actual fuel burn against the flight plan navigates to the appropriate FMS page, reads the numbers, and runs the mental comparison. The data is in the system. The FMS knows the actual burn rate. The fuel quantity system knows the tank states. But the cognitive work of comparing those numbers and evaluating whether they are consistent with the plan sits entirely with the pilot. On top of everything else they are managing, advanced decision support software could close that gap proactively. Not by making decisions for the pilot, but by continuously monitoring the comparison and surfacing relevant discrepancies, flagging that actual burn is running above the filed plan, flagging that at current rates the alternate airport approaches minimum fuel requirements approximately 35 minutes before landing, surfacing that information at the moment when altitude and time and options are all still available, not after the situation has developed into a genuine constraint. Anthem's partitioned architecture is designed to integrate exactly this kind of automated advisory capability as the software tools mature and the certification frameworks develop to accommodate them. The features are on the roadmap, not in the current product, but the architecture is genuinely built to absorb them, which is more than can be said for systems designed without that forward consideration. The automation complacency concern deserves honest treatment here. When cockpit systems do more of the work, proficiency with manual skills and raw situational awareness can erode. The accident record has documented cases where crews operating highly automated aircraft lost the ability to recognize and recover from situations the automation could not handle. This is not hypothetical. It is a pattern. Anthem does not solve automation complacency. No avionics system does. That is a training and currency discipline problem that requires deliberate practice regardless of what cockpit you are flying. What well-designed avionics can do is make it easier for the pilot to maintain situational awareness across all the systems. The automation is managing so that when something unexpected happens, the pilot has the mental picture to respond correctly rather than being caught off guard by something the system knew and never communicated. The configurable information display, the high-resolution synthetic vision, and the decision support roadmap all aim at maintaining that mental picture. They are tools. Their value depends entirely on the discipline of the person using them. Here is my honest assessment of Anthem as a system and as a platform bet. The hardware is real, the certifications are genuine, and aircraft are flying with it in service. The partitioned architecture is a credible engineering approach to a problem the avionics industry genuinely needs to solve. The interface ergonomics are a reasonable trade-off for the business jet mission. The long-term capabilities require regulatory evolution that will take time. The execution risk of a decade-long platform commitment is non-trivial, and avionics companies have not always delivered on long-horizon software roadmaps. For pilots evaluating avionics for a business jet acquisition or upgrade, Anthem belongs in the serious consideration tier alongside the Garmin and Collins options. The comparison should include current capabilities and price, but also where each development trajectory is headed over the next 10 years. For general aviation pilots, the direction Anthem represents is coming eventually on a longer timeline. Faster updating, more configurable, advisory-capable avionics are the direction the certified avionics industry is heading. Knowing the underlying architecture helps calibrate what to expect from the systems you will fly in a decade. Sources for today include Honeywell Aerospace technical documentation on the Anthem platform, coverage from Aviation Week and Space Technology and Flying Magazine, and RTCA DU-178C documentation. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector Eyes. Outside, situational awareness inside.